feel like Kobe in a fourth quarter.
This is the Dane Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcasts. And tonight's game in Charlotte that the Timberwolves ultimately lost 120 to 114. It will obviously be labeled as the LaMelo Ball versus Anthony Edwards game. But I think tonight proved to be a lot more than that. The number one overall pick and number three overall pick, they did both put up pretty gaudy numbers in their first game against each other. Edwards, if you didn't watch the game, he had 21 points, 6 boards, and 3 assists, while Ball had 20, 11 boards, and 4 assists. Ball was a more efficient 8 of 15 from the field, while Ant shot 9 of 21. But really, like I said, it proved to be a lot more than that. And I think just in sort of watching the game, it kind of brushed over the fact that COVID was lingering over this game. And Karl-Anthony Towns kind of pointed that out to us after the game, that, you know, really the biggest storyline from this game was the fact that Charlotte had PJ Washington ruled out from the game an hour before the game started due to, you know, a positive COVID-19 test. And yeah, I mean, this is just us normalizing, being stupid and normalizing COVID to a ridiculous degree, but I don't know why I wasn't thinking about that when it happened. And you know, specifically for Kat, I would assume that was pretty dang weird for him to go out and play in a game where it was likely that somebody on the Hornets, or certainly possible that somebody on the Hornets, also had it. So I just want to play what Kat had to say after the game, because I think it did provide some good insight there.
An extended absence, they say the first game goes okay and the second one is when they kind of feel the effects of it. Just how did you feel physically out there, you know, for the second night, get back to it?
For sure. I was winded in the beginning, but, you know, it was different. It was different for us. It was different for me. I'm not to make excuses or anything, but the Charlotte with their COVID situation, that bothered me a lot. And Ryan knew it, and coaches knew I was mentally not there in the first half. That COVID situation really spooked me. I don't know, it just triggered me. And my teammates knew it, and they were there to support me. They understood that it was going to be tough for me early on, but it spooked me a lot. And say I was scared is the least thing. But second half, I felt better. My dad calmed me down, so thanks to Papa Towns, but he calmed me down. And but, you know, I definitely was winded early on. You know, just got to keep fighting, just keep finding to get my shape and get back in rhythm.
Carl, did you not think the game should be played, or how were you kind of approaching when you found that stuff out?
We all kind of were worried that the game wasn't going to be played because we were already warming up. But for me, I immediately was triggered by it. And that's just answering the questions, honestly. I was immediately, you know, triggered by it. And I don't know, it just brought up so many things I've been through, and it affected me in such a way where basketball wasn't important anymore. And I remember going up to Ryan and say, Ryan, are you sure we should play this? You know, if those guys got some COVID positives and we're playing with guys who are around these people. And I was one of those guys that was negative today, and then tomorrow was negative as well. And then the next day, I was positive with COVID and a bad time and a bad case of it. So I understood what the situation was for me. Not knowing, you know, what the timeline for their cases and stuff like that, and know if they were contagious, not contagious, how well was the, you know, the tracing, the contact tracing was, and all that stuff. So I was more worried for the guys, and I was worried for myself. And I mean, I just had COVID, and I mean, I have the antibodies, thank God, and I'm very high on it, but I was more worried for our guys. I don't want them to go through what I went through and even have to even come close to it. So for me, it was me just thinking for them, you know. This is not a situation to play with, especially if you got someone positive. And, you know, obviously I prayed very hard, especially in the first half, for the guys on the other side, and asking the players on the other team and how the players were doing and staff was doing, and seeing how their symptoms were and anything was, if I could give any insight or anything like that.
So I don't want this show or any show to be a COVID podcast. I mean, a lot of us, we're coming to basketball for an escape, you know, from COVID. I do prefer to talk about what the team actually looks like on the floor. And tonight I'd love to talk about what the Cat and Ant duo looked like, or how Beasley and Cat, you know, split looks, so forth, all that sort of stuff. And I mean, we're all just so antsy to see this team back at full strength. And I think we want that more than anything, probably even more than wins. You know, we want to see Cat, D'Lo, Ant, and Beasley all play together. And COVID does tie to the basketball part of that, because, you know, playing a basketball game tonight very well could lead to a Timberwolves player testing positive for COVID tomorrow. It could certainly have been incubating inside of one of the Hornets players, and that could literally lead to Beasley or Edwards getting COVID themselves. And I mean, you know, you just think about it, when Juancho and Kat tested positive, that was after the, you know, the Memphis game, and you know, they test positive the next day, and then the day after that, Jonas Valanciunas tests positive, and that's who was guarding Kat that whole game. I mean, it's not that hard to connect some dots here. And I just think it would be such an unnecessary blow to the little excitement that surrounds this Timberwolves team right now if anyone, but specifically Edwards or Beasley, you know, were to test positive tomorrow or the next day. I mean, that would just kill two more weeks of this season. So that's, you know, as I'm just kind of sitting there after the game, that's where my head starts going, is just to the idea of excitement and how I feel like excitement is getting stomped on. And, you know, specifically for Cat, it's weird. This is so bizarre. He's just like emblematic of how messy this all is. And I'm sure a lot of you got to see, you know, Carl's post-game comments after his, you know, his first game back. And obviously he shared a lot of the details about what he went through with COVID, but really he talked about being excited to be back, you know, playing. And you know, before that, a year ago, I remember how excited Carl was to have D'Angelo Russell here, you know, to be able to be playing basketball with one of his best friends. And I just feel like this, his excitement is taking blow after blow. And I mean, honestly, I'm just curious where Cat's excitement level is for these final 46 games of the season. So this is what he had to say.
Carl, I guess I'm just kind of curious about your overall excitement, because I think sometimes I'm imagining this is extremely confusing for you. You know, after the last game, you sounded so excited to be back out on the floor and playing. And then tonight is this whole other whirlwind, and you have the rest of the season here where I'm assuming you're excited to play with your friend D'Angelo and all these different things. I mean, how do you balance that? Where is your excitement level at just when you look at 50 more games this season?
I'm excited because of these guys, but obviously, you know, today's not one of those days. I'm excited to come in front of here and talk to you guys about not only a loss, but something that we could have lost more than just the game today. And, you know, I think it's not that I'm not excited, I'm worried. I think that's the more of the word that describes what you're seeing right now in this Zoom is I'm just worried. It's not going to stop, and the world's just, you know, especially America, is just getting more and more COVID cases. So I'm just worried. And, you know, my heart goes out to all the people that have gotten COVID and the families that have been affected by it. I just couldn't stomach seeing one of my guys get it and not being able to do anything. I've already had that situation once. I'm not trying to have that one again. So I'm just going to keep doing what I can to keep everyone healthy as possible, and just keep stressing how important masks are and just being responsible professionals.
Those weren't the only fireworks that went off post game. Malik Beasley, he had some words, and it was surprising. I mean, Malik's really kept his head down for the majority of this season. You know, he's, quite frankly, for me personally, when Malik comes up to talk post game, it's not all that exciting. He's pretty boring because he's, you know, intentionally not really saying anything. And I think how we've seen Malik be frustrated at times this year is in his body language. And I think we understand some of that frustration in regards to not getting more shots, you know, specifically at the end of the games. And we, I think we all know that it would make sense for the amount of minutes he's playing to have been, you know, they've kind of been suspiciously low. That would be, you know, something to be frustrated about. But yeah, I mean, Malik hasn't said anything all year and he's been quiet. And tonight he wasn't. We had our first official on the record shots fired at Ryan Saunders comment. And I'll play that for you here after a quick break. But it's worth hearing Malik's full comments. What's up, everybody? We have something to tell you about here at Blue Wire, and that is that we love sports betting. And whether you've been betting for a while or you're thinking about getting started, we want to let you know great resources for sports bettors, and that's the Action Network. The Action Network is where sports fans go to bet smarter and experience real financial gains. In fact, their Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. And with an Action Network Pro subscription, you can unlock the very best of the app. When you sign up for an Action Network Pro subscription, you can access the Pro Report, which includes expert projections for every game. You can see money and bet percentages on every game. You can see the teams professional gamblers are betting on. You can take advantage of Pro Systems, which match winning historical betting trends with the latest games and lines. You can track every bet you make and get alerts in real time. So if you're looking to bet smarter, an Action Network Pro subscription is the way to get started. For a limited time, our listeners can receive 50% off an annual pro subscription. Just go to actionnetwork.com and receive 50% off an annual subscription when you use the code MORE50, MORE50. This offer won't last, so go to actionnetwork.com to sign up for a pro subscription and use promo code MORE50 to receive 50% off and start betting smarter today. All right, before we get to Malik's comments, I do want to say that this game specifically is a really interesting game for him to have blown up. Yeah, he actually played the entire first quarter of the game, all 12 minutes, and then he stayed in the second quarter to keep playing. So in this game, he was playing. But I almost feel like that's more telling, that in a game where he played 37 minutes, he sounded off, you know? And it's just, how I take it is he's just done with being held back in any way from winning. And he wants things to change. I think this is one of those situations where a player used the media to make a point.
I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life. I feel like I need to be, you know, used more because I don't feel like I get tired. And if I do, I tell the team to come get me. And then Kat, he's getting back into rhythm and things, and he's already doing well. You know, the first game, he had a double-double. Second game, I think he had another one. So just the way he's playing and the things he's doing for us has been tremendous.
Any other questions for Malik?
Malik, is that something you've voiced maybe to Ryan and coaches that, you know, you played more tonight, that, like, yes, I can go more, and do you feel like that message has kind of been received?
I don't know if it's been received or not, but I know that I'm in great shape and I know that I can play more.
Even like 37 tonight, you feel like you can go beyond that?
Yes.
Malik does have a point, right? I mean, prior to tonight, he had only played over 35 minutes in five of the first 25 games of the season. I mean, LeBron averages 35 minutes per game. And in one of Malik's five games that he played over 35 minutes, I mean, he needed overtime to get there. Just by star or even NBA starter standards, like, Beasley is not playing a lot of minutes this season, and it's not because he came into training camp out of shape. It's not because he's nursing an injury. I mean, really, he's the 24-year-old Malik Beasley is the poster child for a player who should be playing 35 minutes every night. What I thought was telling, in addition to not just pointing at the minutes, is Malik talked about wanting to get the ball more. And that's a second shot, you know, and to be fair, it is harder. And I think we've talked about this on the pod in the past. And I think, you know, this is a somewhat understood, you know, thing that it's hard to feed a player of Malik's style shots, right? Malik's a catch and shoot player, or that's what he's been used as, right? Since he's been on the Timberwolves. I mean, only 13.7% of his shots this season have come as a pick and roll ball handler, and only 1.6 of his shots have come in isolation. That's just 8 isolation attempts the whole season. I mean, the vast majority of his action comes either in spot up situations, coming off of screens, or getting the ball off of handoffs. And there really is only so much volume you can get if those are the main tenets of your offensive diet, right? If you want to get more touches, you've got to play more like Terry Rozier tonight, who had 41 points against the Wolves. For a player like Rozier, or for a team like Charlotte, it's easier to feed Rozier a lot because he's used more as a primary ball handler. He isn't just a pin-down guy. He gets, and I mean, because of that, if you look up his frequency numbers, I mean, he gets almost double the amount of pick and rolls and isolation opportunities than Beasley does. So, I mean, on its face, it seems obvious that, okay, you know, you just give them Malik the ball more, you know, make him more of a primary ball handler. But with context, I mean, that's pretty problematic for two reasons, right? Like, I think Malik is significantly less productive in terms of points per possession when he is a primary ball handler. In those, you know, in those pick and roll situations, he's a 46th percentile shooter. In spot up situations, he's super high volume and still 88th percentile in terms of effectiveness. Those are his strengths. And then, two, even if you want to test to see if that pick and roll, the primary ball handler things could go up in effectiveness by giving him more volume, I mean, the second predicament is that this team already has two primary ball handlers that they're very committed to, D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards. I mean, not to mention Cat, who is a primary ball handler when he gets the ball up top in his own right. So we're really running into like a rock and a hard place situation here, right? Like, part of the answer is easy, you know, play Malik more minutes, easy. And then run more off-ball actions for him. Like, those things can both happen. But I don't think we can brush over the fact, like the hard fact, that this roster was constructed in a way that asks Beasley to play a certain role. Has he been deserving of a bigger role? Has he, because from killing it in his role as a spot-up guy? Yes. But, I mean, I think if there's one thing that we know with this team, it's that they have plans and they stick to those predetermined plans. I mean, yes, there's room baked in where they can adjust around that plan some. But with D'Lo coming back, Cat back, Ant getting more touches, I'm very curious to see if Malik is going to take that a little more room. You know, is that going to be enough for his liking? I mean, this happened tonight with D'Angelo Russell not playing at all. And in a game where Cat was third on the team in shot attempts. I mean, if anything, more usage is coming from the point guard position. And, I mean, Cat's usage is only going to grow. So, I don't know. This might just be the beginning. We do have to have a bigger conversation about Cat and his usage and what exactly his role is going to be on this team going forward. I mean, if you watch the game, I think you notice this. It's certainly something I've been taking note of, not just tonight, but in, you know, all six games Cat's played now, is he's being used as a post-up option way more than he's being used as a perimeter option. I remember last year, that five-out option, and Cat was the quarterback up there. Like, that was the old offense, and the new offense, the baseline is Cat as a post player. So, I mean, as these games rattle off, we do need to track how his usage in the post versus on the perimeter lines up with Beasley and Edwards. I mean, I think that's part of the logic that's going into using Cat in the post more, is because you have better perimeter options now. But, I mean, Cat's a pretty damn good perimeter player himself. So I'm gonna give that another game before really digging into it here on the pod. You know, the Wolves are going to play again on Sunday night against Toronto. So we're going to leave tonight. It's Friday night, as a short pod. But I will be back after Sunday's game against the Raptors. We'll have another game of Cat by then. And we'll hopefully be able to have more of a Cat basketball conversation after that one. But until then, enjoy your weekend. I'm Dane. Peace out.
How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like